my brother?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good now. How about you?
Good. Doing great. Glad we could get connected.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's all right. That's great. So how's your week been?
Man, it's been crazy. It's been good. It was a good weekend. Had a good 3 days off. Did a bunch of stuff with the kids. Got some stuff done. Watched some great wrestling. How about yours?
Yeah, same. I was hanging out with the girlfriend, and we were doing our thing, and plus the pay-per-view, Double or Nothing.
Amazing.
It was a show. So you had a bunch of news for us, I think, to start off with.
A bunch of news. First, we'll get the WWE stuff out of the way. The Naomi and Sasha stuff keeps getting crazier. Apparently, they are now suspended without pay, which means technically they cannot freeze their contract. So what I'm hearing, if it's true or not, their contract had 2 months left. So if they're not frozen, in 2 months they'll be free agents and won't have to wait the 90 days to sign with another company. So that's pretty big right there.
Yeah, that is. That could be pretty good news, actually.
On the Ric Flair last match news, the match sold out in 24 hours. I didn't even get a chance to buy a ticket. It sold out quick.
Oh, wow.
Even the standing room only.
Oh, it was? How big was the venue, do you know?
It's at a fairground, so I'm not sure. But, like, just for standing room only, they wanted $35 a pop. So, like, the first three rows, I think, were like $250 a pop. So, like, they were – people really wanted to see this match if you really wanted to buy a ticket. So, now if you want a ticket, you're going to have to get it on the secondary market because they are all gone, sold out in 24 hours.
That's crazy.
So, I know we're going to talk about it during the pay-per-view, but the whole MJF situation. I messaged you when it happened. So, it all started about 2 months ago. MJF has been very upset about his contract, and he's made it known on television, which, you know, to Tony's, I don't know if it's credit or downfall, he's let him do it, but a bunch of stuff has started coming out about his contract. First off, he makes like $150,000 a year, which is really nothing compared to what you think about what probably Adam Cole got for signing and Malakai Black.
Oh, yeah, you can only... And
even Mark Henry and Big Show, and they don't even do nothing. So... 2 months ago, he did an interview with Alani. I can't say his last name, but he used to do UFC stuff. He did an interview with him, and Tony Khan was really upset about this because they're supposed to run every interview by AEW. Like, hey, I'm gonna go do an interview here. I'm gonna go.
Yeah, I read a little something about that.
So they had a heated discussion, which led to both sides not talking. So. What I'm hearing is, I don't know if it was a couple weeks back, a month back, Tony Khan told him, we'll do contract talks. I'm not going to change your contract, which also, by the way, I found out the end date. It is up January 1st, 2024. He keeps saying the 2024 bidding war. I thought maybe it was like later in the year. It's actually January 1st. So we're really only about 18 months away.
Yeah, we're not very far at all.
And I guess Tony Khan said, hey, I will make you one of the highest paid people in this company, but it comes with an extension. What MJF wants is his contract changed right now. He wants more money right now, rip up the deal. He wants the contract to be right now. And Tony Khan's like, no, that's not how we do things. I'll honor this contract. Let's just add a few more years and I'll make those years, top performer money. Well, MJF blew those off. So when they got to Las Vegas for Double or Nothing, they do a big thing all weekend where they do like a fan fest and this and that. And they do a meet and greet. And MJF, to meet MJF, to get a picture, just to meet MJF was $100. And then it cost more to get an autograph. It cost more to get a picture, things of that nature. Well, he no-showed the event and was actually seen in the casino gambling. And was not answering phone calls from AEW. So
I read that too. After you told me about it, I was reading a little bit on it, saying that he was gambling. it's, to me, it's not that big of a surprise, because when people go see MJF and do pay money, he's been known to fall asleep on them, ignore them, tear up their pictures, hand them back.
Yeah, but that's all in being a heel, and like I think afterwards they got their original picture and stuff like that. That was all kind of for show. This was legit. He was not answering anybody's phone calls. So then,
yeah, okay.
Finally, they got a hold of AEW manager, got a hold of him, and it's not clear who, but somebody booked a flight for him to go home. They were done. Well, MJF did not get on that flight. He showed up a few minutes before the match with Wardlow. It was always scheduled to go on first. I think I sent you the first three matches and the last couple matches. It was always scheduled to go on first.
Yeah.
Showed up, from what I'm hearing, like maybe a half an hour before the pay-per-view was supposed to start. Got in, thought out what he was going to do, left right after, left with producer Pat Buck, left. But a lot of other AEW talents were, you know, given flights back home and things like that. He stuck around. Supposedly they were supposed to have a meeting the next day, him and Tony Khan, at 8 o'clock. Don't know if that meeting happened, blah, blah, blah. But reports are coming out from, like, Wrestling Observer and things like that, is that he's seeing how Cody Rhodes is being used on WWE. And I know you're not following WWE, but they are treating Cody like he is the second coming of whatever. I mean, they're having Cody countdowns, and they give him the all-out pyro and all, and yeah, they're playing it up. And he thinks that he'll get the same, and he thinks he'll get the same treatment. It's a great idea by WWE, because they want MJF. MJF's great. So to show Cody in this main event talent, and to show it, you know, other people, because there's also another report that came out that AEW talent are seeing how Cody's being used. They're kind of like, hey, maybe that'll be me, which they don't get, because it's Cody Rhodes. Cody is totally different than MJF. He's a babyface. Yeah.
They're gonna he was president of AEW. I mean, that was a bit of a bigger deal.
MJF will not be allowed to be MJF in WWE. He just won't. They have sponsors. They have stock. They have things like that. But it's so smart on WWE's part to do what they're doing. They're showing people, hey, look what we're going to do here. And then once they get in, you know, then WWE will get to deal with it. I hope him and Tony come to a compromise. But the thing is, it's always, and MJF's been, he's been pretty honest about this. His dream has been to wrestle in the WWE. So,
yes.
Is it a work? Is it a shoot? Right now, it's not a work. But could they turn it into a work? It'd be a great storyline. And we'll talk about it, I know, when we get into the pay-per-view. But it's...
And from the way everything's kind of playing out, it kind of does seem like him just being MJF. On the other hand, he's so good at what he does.
Right.
You really can't tell.
Yeah, is it a work? Is it a shoot? I mean, we'll find out that January 1st. The interesting thing is going to be, is he going to be at Dynamite on Wednesday? That's the big thing. If he's not there, we might not see MJF a whole lot over these next 18 months, because if Tony Khan was smart, he wouldn't be highlighting him just for him to go to WWE. He made that mistake with Cody. He could have re-upped Cody. He had an option on Cody, but they couldn't come to an agreement. He said, fine, if you want to leave, leave. He has to watch how much he does that, because, man, if MJF goes, that could be a blow.
Yeah. Really hate to see MJF go, especially with what he's got under his belt as far as matches and runs he's had already. It would really suck to lose him.
Well, the big thing that people have to remember, and that we all have to remember, is that him and Cody are friends. Now, I know Cody signed an NDA when he left. He's not supposed to be able to talk to other talent, things like that, but they're friends. You know, they talk. And,
yeah, definitely. You know,
Cody got a big contract. He got a bus so his family could travel with him. He got this. He got that. I'm not saying everybody's going to get that, but people see that and they're like, hey, that could be me. You know what I mean? So it's going to be interesting. I think time will tell in the next few months. But to get off the MJF for now, Tony Khan. I love Tony Khan. I think he's one of the greatest things ever. He went on a Twitter tirade the other day where he was slamming WWE about how they're moving money in the bank from the Raiders big stadium now to like a 12,000 seat stadium. He said he had a great meeting with Warner Brothers Discovery and kept dogging WWE. And he had a dinner with his dad, Dana White. And I guess apparently they were making fun of McMahon and the WWE. The big thing out of that meeting, though, they're going to be in LA at the Forum this Wednesday for Dynamite.
And right.
Supposedly, the Warner Brothers Discovery is throwing a big party for AEW. Rumors are going around. I'm not saying they're true, but I'm thinking a streaming service deal with that and ROH, and maybe a TV deal. We might hear sooner than later because I think their TV deal is up in 2024. Around the same time when they first debuted. I think it was, what, September when they debuted? I could be wrong.
But September seems right to me.
So the ratings they're pulling in the demo, I know we're not talking about Dynamite. We're going to go to the pay-per-view. But their ratings were up over a million for the first few segments until the NBA came on and it kind of took them away. But right. Their demo is, like, right there with WWE, and that's what gets the advertisers money. So I don't think we've seen the last of AEW on TBS, TNT, and which I think is a great thing.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I really think they're where they belong. They've just, since day one, seemed to have hit it off with them. And nothing but gold.
Yeah, and I'll talk a little bit more about that during the Punk match. I'll save a little surprise for that when we get to that, because that was I still think the pay-per-view is still going on. That was a long pay-per-view, but
oh yeah, it took me 2 days of notes to watch it all.
And I told you earlier the reason that Tony Khan made it a 13 match pay-per-view and a almost 5 hour pay-per-view is Martha Hart. He wanted to give her all the time she wanted to speak. I thought she came off great. I know we'll talk about it more during the pay-per-view, but he wanted to let her have enough time where it wasn't like, hey, you got 5 minutes, go out there and do this presentation, or hey, you got 10 minutes. He wanted to let her speak and speak whatever she wanted to say and do whatever she wanted to do because she deserved it. So he bought an extra hour of pay-per-view. So that's why he booked the last two matches, the trios match and the Allen O'Reilly match, just in case she didn't go too far. If you're gonna pay for 5 hours of pay-per-view time on, you know, a service, you might as well get your money's worth, right?
Yeah, and that's how I think it too. And with that, and how respectful Tony is to the business and those in, as a part of the business's history, you know, being Owen Hart and, you know, just treating her like that, that makes a lot of sense, and it's very considerate.
Well, yeah, they treated her well, and then, excuse me, they had a thing at the Fan Fest on Saturday. They released the Owen Hart action figure that's going to be for sale, which I think is just really cool that, you know, we're going to be able to get an Owen Hart action figure. The video game is supposed to come out in September. We're going to get an Owen Hart playable character. I know a lot of people, if you're on Twitter and you follow wrestling on Twitter, it could be a hateful place. And a lot of people are like, you know, the WWE stands or the E-drones, as people call them, are just really giving them crap, and it doesn't make any sense why.
I've been on Twitter, and I haven't been on there a very long time. I'm fairly new to Twitter, actually. But yeah, the amount of like hate in the IWC, it's crazy.
And it's only like a quarter of the wrestling audience, which is just, but if you ever go on there, it's so horrible. Just, I don't know. I hate talking about it. It's just, it's so bad.
Yeah, it's bad vibes. It can be kind of nice too. I mean, I've found,
yeah, you know, if you find certain people, it's cool. But then, like I said, you have, I know you're not a WWE fan, and you know, but there's people that just, I love all pro wrestling. I love everybody. I love all of it. I'm glad people have places to go to work now. Like, they can go to Impact, they can go to WWE, they can go to AEW, whatever. There's a place for the boys to work, and they're all friends, and people forget about that. And there's,
yeah,
people,
exactly.
And there's people that are like, oh, forget AEW, I'm only WWE, or forget WWE, I'm only AEW. And that just, I don't know. I like to have an open mind. Like, I like watching Raw, I like watching SmackDown, going to SummerSlam, you know. It's just, but some people just, oh my God, they're so hateful.
That's great. I don't take my absolute time to sit there and hate on WWE. There's no reason to do it. I mean, I'm a WWE fan to an extent. They just lost me along the way. And AEW is the better product for me.
Well, it just seems like there's a war going on between some fans, and it just doesn't make any sense. Like what you like, dislike what you dislike, but you don't have to spend your time. Like Samoa Joe did an interview the other day, and he's like, I just don't understand it. Like, if you like WWE, watch WWE. If you like AEW, watch AEW. If you like Impact, watch Impact. If you like them all, watch them all. But to, like, spew hate, like, Tony Khan gets some of the worst tweets. It's amazing. It's just like,
I can imagine.
Oh, I feel bad for him sometimes.
Well, thanks for all the news, man. That's awesome to know.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, that's awesome. Because as you know, I'm kind of a slacker when it comes to news. I'm usually the last one to know it all anyway.
Hey, there's a
I keep my ears peeled and I try and stay on top of things, but every once in a while things slip through. Work gets in the way or something.
Right.
But how about let's get into Double or Nothing, because I can't wait to talk about that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Well, we started off, but I did not see the pre-show. So,
You missed Hookhausen. Well,
yeah, I'm sad that I missed Hookhausen. I'm hoping I can find it somewhere.
I'm sure you can on YouTube, but I've been telling people for a while now that Danhausen can work. He can wrestle. He's not just a gimmick, and he showed it in this pay-per-view. He wrestled really good. He did a great job. Hookhausen got the win. I think Sterling came out later in a neck brace and stuff like that. It was really great. Danhausen ended up getting the pin, which was great on Sterling. It was a great, fun match to get people ready for the pay-per-view. It was the only match. They basically just tried to sell the pay-per-view the whole time. And then the last 10 minutes of the pre-show was the Hookhausen match.
Another thing,
but you missed Danhausen wrestle.
Yeah, and another thing I missed was the Eddie Kingston promo that I heard was
God. It was incredible. It was on the pay-per-view, I think.
Not the replay, at least.
Oh, it was amazing. Eddie Kingston. We'll talk about it during his match, and I'll save it for that. But I can relate a lot to what he was saying. Oh, my God, it was. I'm hoping now Eddie Kingston is the one that takes the belt off my boy Punk. It was amazing.
He always puts in a good promo, and I would love to see Eddie Kingston and Punk. Who wouldn't? That would just be gold right there.
Oh, the promo was just... It was one of the greatest promos I've ever seen. And it was just... The thing with Eddie Kingston, and he's real. And he doesn't sugarcoat nothing. He doesn't...
Exactly.
It was amazing. You got to find it. If you can't find it, let me know. I'll find it and send it to you.
All right, cool. No, definitely. Because that's one thing I was regretting, is missing that promo. I saw, like, maybe 5 seconds of it, and I was doing something, or my computer something on me, and I missed it. So
I want to say, when I was searching, because I watched the media scrum afterwards where they talked to everybody after the pay-per-view, I want to say on YouTube there was the buy-in pre-show was something you could watch on YouTube.
I'm sure it's got to be on there still.
Yeah,
and I'll find it. But, so we started off with MJF versus Wardlow, like you said, and MJF's music hits, which I was relieved for nothing there. They show Wardlow in the back in a holding cell that they have at the arena, being escorted by security, and I just loved the entrance in itself.
It's so Goldberg-esque.
It is. I think it's maybe, dare I say, a little bit more intense than Goldberg.
Oh yeah, the whole handcuff. Because my girlfriend, she doesn't watch, you know, Dynamite or things like that, but she was watching the pay-per-view with me, and she was like, why is he in handcuffs? So I had to kind of explain to her why, and then she was like, oh, okay, I get it. I just wish they would have played some music for him, like War Pigs. Everybody wants to
be
War Pigs. I was hoping for that, but I think that's coming.
I remake of his song and everything, but I loved the entrance. MJF during the match, he's pulling every heel move you can think of, everything from rolling out of the ring, eye pokes, full nine yards, and he's doing a terrific job in the match, including going for the ring in his trunks. And
yeah, that was...
The ref standing over there and just patting him on the shoulder, kind of telling him, you're fucked.
Yeah, that was funny. That was a good spot there.
That was great. And it didn't take very long for Wardlow to get MJF in the position for the first power bomb. He lands like five power bombs, puts his foot on MJF's chest to go pin him, and takes off his foot at a two count, and I think he got 10 in.
Yes, and 10. Yeah. Yep.
And which I thought was great, and I was kind of hoping that that would have cued in a little bit of Sean Spears interplaying in it, but you know, I'm glad he didn't actually.
I was actually scared watching, and MJF was taking those power bombs really weird. The way he was keeping his elbows out, like, I thought he was going, like, it was like he was trying to get hurt or something. I'm happy Wardlow got his spot, and I'm glad he got his moment. I just think MJF just wasn't there, if that makes sense. Like, he just,
yeah,
like,
I know that. I did that during the power bombs as they were progressing, he was landing them kind of weird.
And I think it took away from the match, and I think it kind of killed the crowd for a little bit, because, like, I don't know, it was really weird. Just, I thought he was going to break his elbows the way he was, because he wasn't taking it like he normal does. And I'll give MJF credit for coming out and doing the business, and he got stretchered off, and he was flicking off the fans as he was getting stretchered off, but it just, I don't know, I think he could have gave Wardlow more there, and he just kind of, I think he kind of just melded in.
They were, as they were putting him on the board, they put the oxygen mask on him upside down.
Yeah. I saw people on Twitter talking about, yeah, the way to get oxygen is through your eyes. Yeah, they kind of screwed that up a little bit.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of funny, but it was a great match for what it was.
Yeah.
Tony Schiavone announcing to Wardlow that he's now All Elite.
My God.
Yes, it was a great moment. I felt good for Wardlow, and one of the best matches of the night.
We'll disagree there. I don't think it was. I thought it was a great spot, and I thought it was a great moment. But, like, again, MJF just killed it for me. Like, when he came out, he did the airplane thing with his robe, and he did the spots at the beginning where he got over with the crowd, where, like, you know, you said the referee found the ring, but then it just seemed like when he took the power bombs, he was just trying to get hurt or not doing it right. And I think he could have gave more to Wardlow. I was a little disappointed at the, I mean, I'm glad Wardlow got the 10 in and he got his contract, but I thought this could have been a little bit better. And I think with what happened, they kind of just rushed this match just to get it in to make sure he was going to do business.
I was expecting it to go on a little bit longer. I was expecting to be more of like the length of him and Punk, but
right,
how long that was, maybe a 10 or 15 match.
Yeah, but it seemed like they just got him in there, get him out of here, and then we'll figure out what we're going to do with him later. And yeah, I think that kind of killed the momentum of the match.
Yeah, it amazingly short though. And who knows what was discussed before that match even took place when he got there. But
I just got some news though. They just announced for Dynamite it's going to be Daniel Garcia versus John Moxley.
Oh really? Now yes. That's a match I'd love to watch.
All right, sorry about that, just got the news.
Oh, that's an excellent news to have. I'll definitely be tuning into that one.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
The next match we had was a video package of Hardys versus the Young Bucks.
Just
that up. Yeah, what'd you think of this match? I was disappointed at the whole pace of the match.
Yeah, I will say, God bless the Hardys. Rumors coming out of this match, and this was some news I didn't want to break at the beginning, but that Jeff Hardy was really beat up after the Darby Allin match. It really Darby's a lot younger. He can do these things when he was Darby's age. He can't do them now. And if you watched this match and didn't know, you would have thought Jeff Hardy was like 80 years old. Like, it was.
They were moving the Hardy boy slow, man.
They had to, because Jeff was. There was like nothing they could really do. I think give the Hardys a shit ton of credit for putting even that kind of a match together, because Jeff was just. He looked beat up. Apparently, they're going to give him time off. They announced a 10-man tag for Dynamite. I don't know if it's still going to happen. I'm seeing right now, I just got some news sent to me that he's going to get some time off to heal. I hope my source is right, because Jeff looked bad. It just, I was so pumped for this match. I was so excited. And I thought that was one of the worst matches on the card. It was so bad.
I'm probably right there with you. I was disappointed overall. I didn't really see the Young Bucks flailing like the Hardy. And I was wondering at first. I'm like, is this just the story of the match? You know, the youth versus the age and the experience, or. You know,
I just don't think they could. I think they wanted to, but Jeff just seemed like he was in molasses or something. He was moving in such slow motion that, and I think if the Hardys, I think if the Bucks tried to go any faster, then it would have messed up a lot of moves, because it was just, and Matt even seemed kind of slow. Like, I know
he seemed kind of blown up to me.
Yeah, I guess apparently what was going to happen was they were going to put the belts on him for like one more nostalgia run, but I think they're starting to second think it a little bit, because Jeff is beat up. Apparently he's getting, from what I'm being told from some sources, I'm getting sent to my email and things like that, is that they're going to give him some time off. I hope so, because a healthy Jeff Hardy is a good Jeff Hardy, but he can't keep doing Jeff Hardy. I don't need to see you swanton from the top of a ladder. I don't need to see you swanton onto steps anymore. I've seen that before. I want to see you wrestle a normal match, and let's get a good Hardy's match going on.
I'd like to see him back to where they were like 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
The problem is, can they get there? I don't know.
That's the thing. I don't know if this was a one-off, you know, maybe just stroke a bat. The match with Darby Allin hit him harder than he thought it should have, or something. I'm just being hopeful about. But I'd love to see him with another title run. I mean, that would be, that's what they both want. I know it. And
All right,
you're back. Great. I don't know what happened. I think I pressed early.
Oh, you're good, bro. You're good. But we'll
fix that up.
I think we're done anyway.
Yeah, we are. But the next, we had a video of the Acclaimed and the Gun Club kind of doing a funny little thing of how they did it in Las Vegas, and Billy, you know, babying the Acclaimed and treating his boys like shit. So it was kind of funny.
It was funny for what it was worth. It's setting up the Gun Club versus the Acclaimed. Hopefully, Bowens ain't out too long, and we'll get that match. But yeah, definitely, I guess they're going to go for the Acclaimed being good guys and the ass boys staying heels.
I like the Acclaimed no matter which way they go.
Same. I love the Acclaimed.
Yeah, I think they're great. But we had the next match we had was the TBS Championship match. Anna Jay versus Jade Cargill, which didn't have much of a build to it anyway. It had like a week of build.
Yeah.
It was garbage to me. It looked like Jade Cargill's first match all over again.
Yeah, and the sad thing is like there's stuff online. Like I could send you videos of her training with Brian Danielson. Like him and William Regal are working with her and the baddies, but Anna Jay just ain't it, and
I wish they would stop putting Anna Jay in the title picture, because I just don't think she at all.
I mean, I get why they want to Jay Cargill is money and they want to put her on pay-per-view. I get it. But why couldn't Chris Stantlander be in that spot? Like, why was Anna Jay there? It was just, it didn't do it for me. Like, if I could have had a fast forward button, I would have fast forward to this match. If anything, Jade should have squashed her in like 2 minutes, and then let's move on. Let's get the pay-per-view going.
Yeah, exactly. This wasn't much of a match to me. The only note is Smart Mark coming out, trying to interfere, using a distraction, throwing a crutch in the ring. Anna Jade turns that around and used it on Jade. Then John Silver runs out and suplexes Smart Mark. On the outside, some guy named Stokely comes out.
Oh, you don't know who that is?
I don't.
That is Malcolm Bivens from WWE NXT.
Oh, okay. See, I haven't watched NXT for probably about 2 years.
Yeah, he was in AEW at the beginning, and then he went to NXT. He was actually the manager behind Roderick Strong's new group, the Diamond Mine. His contract ran up. He's actually also a stand-up comedian and stuff like that. But he let his contract run up, and he didn't have to wait 90 days, and that's why he's now in AEW, and I think he'll be taking over for Mark Sterling with the Baddies.
Yeah. So he's new to me anyway. But they did a good job announcing him, you know, kind of short-handed. Jada, in this, she hits the Jaded, and it's not like the finish added or any of the shenanigans this match at all. The Baddies try to assist Jade in teaming up on Anna Jay. Then Chris Statlander comes out. Then Athena, who is Ember Moon.
Yes.
She came down the ramp, and I thought it was interesting, but I didn't think we needed the preview for any of this.
Well, yeah, because it kind of took away from Statlander.
Yeah, definitely.
You just had Statlander and her and Jade, you know, kind of stare down after the Rampage match before the pay-per-view, and then you bring Ember Moon in. I mean, I'm glad to have Ember Moon in it, Moon there to make the women's division better, but why right there? I'm confused why they brought her there. I would have saved her for a Dynamite or a Rampage or something. But so now, does she knock Statlander out of the way for Jade Cargill? Now, is it going to be Ember Moon? Why did we do that? Statlander is a star. Like, I don't get it. I was so confused. I'm happy Ember Moon's there, but I didn't want her there in that spot.
Well, I think we're going to see Statlander. AEW is really good at long-term storytelling, so yeah. I think we are gonna see, like, kind of when it comes to Chris, she's my favorite female performer in AEW right now.
They are, to a point, but then sometimes, like, I think sometimes Tony needs to know when to pull the plug on a storyline, or when to, like, hey, this isn't working, and we'll talk about that in the trios match. But I don't get this. Like, I don't know. It kind of, Ember Moon kind of one-upped Statlander. So now, I know we're saying there's going to be a slow burn, but Jade's not losing anytime soon. I don't think so, anyway.
I don't see it happening.
So why? Why right there? I don't know. I'm a little confused on that one. I mean, like I said, I was happy Ember Moon showed up, but I didn't understand why in that spot.
Right. I don't know either. It just kind of lost me. Then we have a video package about the Forbidden Door pay-per-view coming up.
No, I can't wait.
Then the next... Oh, I can't either. I'm not very familiar with New Japan Pro Wrestling. I do it on occasion, so I'm not totally in the dark about it. But there's still a lot of guys I don't know, and I'm excited see the pairings and interested to see the matchups that they come out with.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how that works out.
Yeah, it'll it's a first, and it looks like a great idea. So I hope it turns out successful.
Well, it already sold out the United Center, and that's a big deal without not one match, you know, said what's going to happen there. It sold out just on AEW versus New Japan, and I think it's going to be amazing.
Oh yeah, that's incredible. But after the video package, we have Death Triangle versus the Black.
Oh.
The Trios. I thought this was a great match.
My favorite match of the night.
Yeah, this both teams looked just solid. Rey Fénix and Penta, to me, they are the stars of the match.
Oh, really? We'll disagree there.
Well, everybody looked great. I'm not disparaging anybody's work in there, but to me, they just shine the brightest to me.
It was Pac and Buddy. I thought Pac and Buddy were just amazing.
They were great too. So I know coming out and saying that like that, but they just stood out most to me. But Pac was amazing in it as well.
He's so good. If we could get his visa issues fixed, he would be right up there. I mean, if people don't remember, it was the fourth, I think it was the first Double or Nothing, he pinned Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
And then, you know, COVID happened, but they were going to push him to the moon. And then we've had visa issues and things like that. Pac is a certified stud.
Yeah, he's amazing. But he was coming off the top rope. The lights, he was setting up for the Black Arrow. Lights go out and they come back on. And Julia Hart gets Pac with the Black Mist. And
yes.
Plotting this, I loved it. Couldn't think of a way for the match to end.
It was the only way for the match to end. One of my favorite things that happened was when Brody King went to jump over the rope and he hit the he hit the ring first. He posted something on Twitter right after and he was like, "Man, that ring is rough. I guess I'm not going to do that again." And then later on in the night, Keith Lee did the same thing and he cleared everything. Brody Lee tweeted something saying like, "Touche, Keith Lee, touche, good job." That was a great match. It was action, it was high flying, the crowd was into it. Malachi Black is amazing. He's such a great character. Just so amazing. You couldn't go wrong with the talent in that ring right there is the future of AEW. And I don't care if an MJF leaves, if Cody Rhodes leaves, whoever. AEW is going to be just fine with the people they have.
Oh, you bet. They have so much great homegrown talent, too. It's just...
Well, homegrown and just other talent. I mean, WWE wasn't using Malachi Black. They brought him back for, like, one thing, and then they killed the character and released him or whatever. And who cares? Malachi Black is a star. They showed it with him and Cody. The character, just the way he puts the eye makeup on and how it's...
He knew when he was in NXT how big a star power he really had, and then we just watched WWE just kill him.
They fucked that up.
And that's one of the things that frustrates me about him, but he's in a great place. Doing what he needs to be doing.
They just keep doing what they're doing with them. Like you said, the slow burn, the slow storytelling that they tell, it's working with me in the House of Black.
Yeah, it is with me too. Then we have the Owen Hart Tournament Cup Final.
Yeah, and baby.
I know you were excited about this one. Adam Cole versus Samoa Joe. Big Owen chants coming off the beginning of this, I noticed.
Yes.
It was awesome. Bobby Fish came out a couple of times in this match.
I didn't like that part of it.
Yeah, because Joe went and got a rear naked choke on Adam Cole. Fish gets back on the apron, and Joe goes up, breaks the hold to knock him off the apron, which was Cole to drop the boom, which was a really sudden end, I thought. It's kind of like, wait, that's over with?
I get the Bobby Fish stuff because Adam Cole's character is, you know, a bad guy who cheats to win. I don't think we needed it here. These two could wrestle and put on a great match no matter what. You know me. I've sent you pictures. I've met Adam Cole. He's talked with me and my kids and took pictures and things like that. And I'm an Adam Cole fan, and he's a superstar. I don't care what anybody says. The look, the theme, how he wrestles in the ring. I knew once Adam Cole won this match, I knew the outcome of the next match that we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
This kind of to me was like a, hey, because Tony Khan has come out and said, look, I'm going to push Adam Cole. He said it, you know. That was one of the people he was scared the most of during the Wednesday Night Wars was Adam Cole. Adam Cole is a star. He has the look. He has the crowd in his hands. He has the catchphrase. He has the moves.
He's gotten over every place he's been, too. Yeah. It's everywhere he's been, he's always turned to be a star.
And I told you like 2 weeks ago, Adam Cole was winning this thing. And yeah. I just knew Samoa Joe didn't need it. He's the ROH champion. I think he's going to be a big fixture in ROH when the streaming deal is going to be announced soon, which I think, like I said earlier in this podcast, is going to happen sooner than later. I don't think we're going to see a lot of Samoa Joe in AEW. I think we're going to see him being built around ROH. So this was the right call. Like I said, Adam Cole is just he's a superstar. Just the first time I ever saw Adam Cole wrestle, I tweeted, Vince McMahon, here's your Shawn Michaels. Because that's who it reminds me of. He just reminds me of
Shawn. He does have a lot of Shawn qualities to him.
He has the charismatic. He just has the crowd in the palm of his hands. And it made me happy when I saw my guy win the Owen Hart tournament. But it also kind of ruined the next match because I knew what they were going to do after Adam Cole won.
Yep, the Owen Hart Cup women's tournament final. Dr. Baker DMD with Ruby Soho. Now, as far as entrances goes, Ruby had this one.
Do you know who played the guitar for Britt Baker? Do you know who that was?
Yeah, that was the guitarist from Fozzy.
Yes, sir. I'm just gonna say before you get into the match, I was so disappointed. Britt Baker has become Tony Khan's Charlotte Flair. Whereas
I've heard that comparison, and I'm starting to kind of believe it too.
Britt Baker did not need this. Why did you sign Ruby Soho to just be second place on? She was second place to Jade in the TBS tournament. Then you put her on Dark for like what, 3 months, and then you bring her back to the Owen Hart, and she gets some momentum, and then she loses to Britt Baker. Again, like,
yeah,
I love Britt Baker. I have a picture taken with her too. I can show you that. Like, I met her in person, and she's a sweetheart. She gave me a big hug, and I love Britt Baker. And my 9-year-old has a crush on her. But she, I know why they did it, to have Adam and Britt together as whatever. But this would have done so much more for Ruby Soho. And I'm the biggest Britt Baker fan. I got Britt Baker shirts. I'm one of the biggest Britt Baker fans you'll ever find, but Britt Baker did not need to win this tournament.
I was a bit disappointed too, and I mean, it was a great match. Both seemed really even in the contest, and like you said, it really does not need this. She's already a star. She's already kicking ass. I really wish that they would have given this to Ruby, because like you said, with the past being the past, I mean, she's already been beaten by Britt Baker. Now this is twice.
Well, me, I wanted Toni Storm to win this match because I'm a Toni Storm mark, and I think this would have done a lot more for even Ruby Soho. I thought it would have done a lot more for Toni Storm to bring her in and give her this. But being said, you had Britt Baker win, and you know, you kept Tony strong by Britt holding on to the ropes or whatever. But again, I know Ruby was ecstatic afterwards. She was posted on Twitter about how happy she was that Rance had played her music and things like that. But what did this do for Britt Baker? I mean, are you gonna have her fight Thunder Rosa again? Probably not.
Exactly.
I mean, the way they've been telling the story, it's kind of Jamie Hayter, you know, because Jamie Hayter doesn't do the DMD when she does and things like that. But then you have Jamie Hayter come out and help her win against Ruby Soho. So what the? I'm confused on this, and I was very disappointed, even though I'm glad that, as a couple, Britt Baker and Adam Cole are two of the greatest people you'll ever meet in person, because I have. But
I'm not even sure how I felt about the finish for this match.
Just, oh, it was horrible.
Roll up after roll up, and then getting the quick 1-2-3. I was just...
That was the WWE finish.
Yeah, it was lackluster.
What? So Ruby almost pinned you, but then you reverse it, and then without even holding the tights, like a heel move, she just pinned her 1-2-3 in the middle. What?
Yeah, being a clean win and everything, it was just, I don't know.
I love how Tony books sometimes, and I disagree with a lot of it, but I really hope tomorrow night starts a reset, because I am confused on why this was the finish, why this was the person picked to win, and what are you doing with the women's division, and what happened?
There are so many women wrestlers in there that haven't got a chance to even shine, or even
I would have rather have your girl Statlander win this, or somebody else. Just, I mean, Toni Storm was my first one, but a Statlander or somebody. Britt Baker is already a star. She's a superstar. She's already there. You've already done that.
Yeah, and she's great at what she does. She had a great championship run.
Yeah.
One
thing I'll say, I don't know how much you are into like old school wrestling or anything like that, but the championship belts were made in the Calgary Stampede edition.
Yes, I loved those belts.
That was pretty freaking cool. And Martha Hart, you've heard so many stories about how, I'm not trying to say bad words on this podcast, but people have called her bitchy and things like that. She was so much fun, and she was so happy to celebrate Owen. And I actually shed a tear because I was actually at the Raw the night after Owen died.
Oh, wow.
I'm from St. Louis originally, and it was in St. Louis, and it happened. Owen died in Kansas City. So I was at the Raw the next night when they did the Owen tribute, and shed a lot of tears that night. And just seeing Martha happy to be associated with wrestling again, because you've heard people talk about how she hated wrestling and Owen would never get the whatever or this and that, but she praised AEW, she praised Tony Khan, she praised the fans, she praised the tournament, she was funny, she was charismatic, and I actually shed a tear. I shed a tear like twice during this whole pay-per-view. I'm a grown-ass man, and I can admit it.
It choked me up too, and I did like her hat too. Like, she made a comment about that.
Yeah, she said everybody needs to wear one the next year. I'm glad Tony Khan, like you said, he's such a historian for wrestling, and to give her, you know, like if she was in WWE and we did this, it would have been like 5 minutes. You gotta hurry up and be out. Tony Khan said, here, say what you want to say, do what you want to do, take as long as you want to. It was just a great moment in pro wrestling history, and I was glad to have watched it on television.
It was a speech, a great ceremony. The belts were just beautiful. Trophy looked beautiful.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. Yeah,
It was great to have on there. Which brings us to our next match. It's America Top Team, Paige VanZant, Ethan Page, fuck, Scorpio Sky versus Ty Conti, Sammy Guevara, and Frankie Kazarian. This match started off just kind of, I want to say, There was that wasn't really a big surprise to me though. But we had Sammy who keeps tagging himself in and out, and Sammy and Ty are just being obnoxious as they can be. They use it all to work for him though, I think.
Well, yeah, well, Paige Van Zandt's training right now to become a pro wrestler. So they threw her out there for name recognition. I get that. But this, I don't know about you, but heel versus heel just does not work. This whole angle has been just fucking dumb. I hate it.
This didn't work for me at all. And the whole thing with Kazarian, I don't know.
I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I didn't want to watch it. I hate it. I cannot say enough how much I hated this segment. The crowd
pushed for it so hard for so long, and it turned out to be the fighting as it sounded. This
is one of the parts where Tony Khan, like, I get the long term booking and things like that, but sometimes you got to pivot. Okay, and he came out and he said on Busted Open Radio, I think it was, he loves Sammy, he loves Ty, he loves them together. The fans love Sammy, the fans love Ty, but they don't love him. Okay, if they're a heel, why are you putting them up against Dan Lambert? Why?
Yeah, it's stupid. Like,
it was dumb.
That made Dan Lambert the baby face the whole run.
Yeah, and how? How do you make Dan? I mean, that's what Brandi Rhodes was doing before she left. It was stupid. I wish it wasn't on the pay-per-view. I don't even want to talk about it. I hated it. I hated it. I hated it.
Yeah, definitely I could have done without this match at all. Next we have, which I thought was a great match, Darby Allin versus Kyle O'Reilly.
Yes.
What was Darby wearing? Like a skirt? A type of headbanger style thing? Or?
Yeah, I don't know what the hell he was wearing, but...
He's always got something funky on.
I am just glad that they are pushing Kyle O'Reilly as just a badass. That, when Darby jumped to do the... through the top ropes, and he caught him with the choke. That was so amazing.
I liked it. Well, I'm glad. Well, the first suicide dive he tried didn't look like it turned out so good.
Right.
Kind of seemed like his foot, like his feet got hooked on the rope and kind of flipped him over. I was just hoping he was okay after. That looked like he landed kind of hard.
I'm just a little confused on the booking with Darby Allin, because it's like he lost to Punk. He lost to Hardy. He lost to Kyle. What are we doing with Darby Allin? Like, I'm a little... He went on that TNT title run where he won a bunch of matches in a row, but it seems like now every match he's in, he's losing, and I'm a little... Where do we go from here with Darby Allin? I'm a little confused. I mean, I'm glad Kyle won, because Kyle's a badass, and they're pushing him. They're pushing him that way, but...
It surprised me that Kyle won. I was for sure thinking Darby's going to win this one.
Yep, same.
I was shocked, and I'm not. It's O'Reilly looked great in this match.
He's a stud. He's a stud. But what are you doing with Darby? I'm a little confused.
Yeah, I don't know, but it ended. It ended with Kyle hitting 3 penalty kicks and then a diving knee drop for the win. So it didn't totally make Darby look like a pushover, at least.
But he keeps losing. Like,
yeah, I know. He does. He does. And I wonder what he's supposed to be, one of the 4 pillars of this company.
Right.
Where is he? Where is he now?
Where do you go next? Where do you go with Darby Allin next? I'm a little confused.
I don't know. They need to do something with him quick, though. Or they're every second that they don't book him right, it's like they're missing out, and we're missing out.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, but next we had the AEW Women's Championship match: Thunder Rosa versus Serena Deeb. I thought this match was technically an awesome match.
Really?
I did. I thought those two were putting on a clinic each other.
Oh, we so disagree. Oh my god.
Didn't think so?
No, I thought this was horrible.
Oh, I match. I don't know. I'm a mark for Thunder Rosa, though. I'm
a mark for both of them, but I just thought it was kind of like back in the day when Stone Cold and Undertaker wrestled. It never really was that good. And it felt rushed to me. It felt like they were trying to do too much to make up for the storyline, maybe, to me. I don't know. I didn't like it. I mean, I pretty much knew Thunder Rosa would win. She's not going to lose right away after winning the belt. But
no.
I didn't think it was that good.
I liked it. I thought they looked great. I don't know.
Wow, really? I didn't think they did. Yeah. I don't know. I need to rewatch that match again. I don't know. I watched it
twice, and my opinion was the same both times. So.
All right. We'll agree to disagree on this one.
Yeah, definitely. We're not going to agree on everything. It'd make our show.
It'd be boring if we did.
Yeah, definitely. Next, had the Anarchy in the Arena.
Oh.
This was, Eddie Kingston, Santana Ortiz, Bryan Danielson, and John Moxley versus Jericho Appreciation Society. We know everybody that's in there. Justin Roberts started off by saying shit's gonna hit the fan. I love that.
Yes, I did too.
It started off crazier than I thought it was going. I don't know what to expect, honestly. And with Mox's theme song just how it kept looping nonstop, I thought it was absolutely amazing.
So awesome. I don't know if I could ever watch a Black Bull Combat Club match again unless Wild Thing is playing the whole time.
Shit, they should make that their mainstay.
That was so cool, wasn't it? That was so cool.
I loved it. Of course, Jericho getting the heat. Yeah. By it saying, you could see him mouthing, I hate this fucking song, and unplugs it, just throws the soundboard. That was great.
Well, the cool thing I thought was at the beginning of the match, you know, I think the crowd kind of died a little bit during, that's where, you know, me and you disagree. I think the crowd died a little bit during Deeb and Thunder Rosa. So usually when JAS comes out, they cut the Fozzy music right away.
Yeah.
Well, they let it play, I think, to get the crowd back into the pay-per-view. And I thought it was perfect because they were so crazy during this match. It was so awesome.
Yeah, this match, it definitely livened the show back up. I had so many great—I have to say kudos to the production team.
Yes.
For keeping up on this and keeping up the cameras and the lighting. Everything. I mean, they were on top of their shit for this match.
Yes, they were. They were everywhere, and the spots where Danielson was throwing, I forget what his name is, into the camera was so cool.
Oh, who was it he was throwing into the camera?
It was one of the X 2.0s.
Andrew Parker, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That was so cool.
Yeah, that I loved it. I loved everything they did. Santana and Ortiz, how they dove off, did the ladder spot, the stereo dives through two separate tables.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was amazing. Then we had the drama happening with Kingston coming out all crazed and emotional, dumping gasoline onto Jericho and hitting Danielson with it in the process. So then Eddie and Brian go off on each other for a while.
How cool was that picture of Santana just all bloody?
Oh,
carrying a gas can.
Oh, you mean Kingston? Yeah. Yeah, I thought that would definitely be an awesome poster to own.
Yes, sir.
That is. We need to do something with Kingston. We need to put him into a title picture. some way, shape, or form.
I didn't like the ending, though.
Yeah, the ending made me angry, but that's simply because they were both double teaming on Danielson, putting in the Walls of Jericho, and then Hager was choking him out with a piece of the rope, and it actually got stopped by Aubrey.
Yeah, but why Danielson? I don't get it. Like, Kingston should have been there, being the one being choked out. Like, I don't, unless Danielson's hurt and they're like trying to ride him out, I don't get the finish of Danielson being the one choked out.
I think to make him look how tough he is or something. That's what I'm imagining.
It would have looked better with Kingston, and it would have prolonged the feud. I was a little confused here. I didn't understand why Danielson being the one choked out. I know it makes him look strong because he didn't really tap out. He passed out, aka Austin and Brett, WrestleMania. But no, it should have been Kingston being the one being choked out. And it continues the feud because of the Eddie promo and how him and Jericho are going at it. I thought it would have worked better if it was Kingston. That's just me. Because we're going to get Blood and Guts. We're going to get Blood and Guts, JAS versus the Blackpool Combat Club. And Danielson will probably get revenge, but they lost me here on the finish.
It did kind of seem like it should have built to it being between Jericho and Kingston. But instead, Jericho just gave him a Judas effect and then went over to Danielson like he was just through with the whole thing. I can see what I see what you mean.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. I don't know. Just if I was booking it, and I'm not Tony Khan, it's not my company, but if I was booking it, Eddie would have been the one being the one choked out, because then you could like prolong the Eddie Jericho feud a few more months, maybe to the next pay-per-view. But to have Danielson choked out there, that's one of your biggest stars. I did not get that at all.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to go from here. I thought overall this match was amazing, though. It was groundbreaking.
Oh, it was. I loved the match. It was great. But what would you do with Danielson next?
That's hard to say. I don't know what they're going to do with the whole call the whole feud over, or
they just announced Garcia versus Moxley to continue the feud because Tony
Khan
in a tweet, this feud's so good, we're gonna keep doing it. But then why was it Danielson? I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get the whole thing with Danielson anyway. I really wish he would have beat Hangman in the second match, and then the championship match in this pay-per-view would have been a heel Danielson versus CM Punk, but that's just me. But I just think they've used Danielson wrong since he's been there.
I was disappointed with this with his second loss to Hangman.
Yeah, I was too. I was too.
I was so disappointed. I don't know. We'll have to see what goes on. I can only hope that it's hard to make Danielson look bad.
No, I mean, he didn't look bad at all. He still looked strong. He didn't tap out. He passed out because he was having the Walls of Jericho put on him and being choked out at the same time. It doesn't make him look bad. It's just, I think having Eddie in that spot, that visual, after seeing Eddie walk down, because Eddie poured the gasoline on Jericho and Danielson, and Danielson stopped him from doing it. So now are we going to see Danielson and Kingston? I don't know. I believe in Tony. I hope we find out more Wednesday. But was a little confused at the ending.
Yeah, I hope we do find out, too. I hope they don't just gloss over it.
And I don't think they will. I think AEW does a good job of, making everything matter. So maybe I'll see the bigger picture, and I'll be like, that's why he did it. But right now, left me a little confused.
Yeah, I see why. After that, we had a taped segment with Andre El Idolo, basically introducing Roosh. I've only seen Roosh a handful of times.
Don't know. Stud. He's a stud. Would like to say congratulations to Andre Elizo and Charlotte Flair on getting married. That's pretty cool. Yeah. That was pretty cool. But you bring in somebody like this, and he's always been a headache everywhere he went. So I hope Tony Khan and Andre El Idolo can keep a pulse on this guy. There was a rumor coming out. There was a story that kind of broke, and this was another thing I kind of said as the Easter eggs. Andre El Idolo was supposed to be pushed heavy, and the reason was is they were going to bring Ric Flair in, but that Dark Side of the Ring happened.
Yeah.
Airplane flight from hell, and people kind of backlashed against Ric Flair. Ric Flair was going to come to AEW, and he was going to be
Ric Flair is one of my all-time favorite wrestlers, and that did kind of taint my view of him. Just kind of put kind of a that
it didn't mind, and I'm not trying to get canceled by anybody or anything like that, but like WWE made cartoons about this incident. Everybody made jokes about this incident. I'm not saying that's right.
Right. But
the story that came out about the airplane attendant afterwards was not the greatest either. Like, she was in jail because her and her boyfriend like stole something. Like, I think she was just trying to, maybe she, I don't know, but I don't think that was a reason to cancel Ric Flair. And Ric Flair, I always love. Like I said, I wanted to go to his last match. I'm not going to be able to unless I buy scalper tickets. But I don't know. That whole thing was just. And I would have loved to see him in AEW and see what him and Andrade could have been.
That would have been cool by me. Flair, even when he said it was his last match with him and Sean, and then he went on to go to TNA. I was all for it. I was all for getting back in the ring and wrestling again.
Oh wow! Hey, some other news here. I know you're a big GCW fan. Are you a Nick Wayne? Are you a Nick Wayne fan?
Oh, definitely. He's all elite.
They just signed a match between him and Dante Martin for Defy Wrestling. Holy shit!
Sweet.
That Maybe is little... gonna be insane.
Both of those kids are amazing at what they do, and well, that brings us to the next backstage part, because Scorpio got challenged by Dante Martin.
Yeah, hey, that was a good segue, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I didn't even mean to do that. I don't think they're going to give it to Dante. I wish they would, but I don't think they are.
No, I definitely don't think they are either. However, I have no doubt it will be a good match.
It's going to be a banger.
It's going to push Dante up. Both Dante and Scorpio Sky, I see some magic happening there.
Oh, it's going to be a great match. I'm seeing that, and from what I'm hearing, I don't know if it's going to be true or not, but I would 80% say that I think we're going to see Miro show up in LA. Don't quote me. But I'm pretty sure that that's going to be Miro's belt. And I think they're going to push him as a face. And I think he's going to destroy Scorpio Sky. That's just me. I'm hearing rumors that he's going to be in LA. Let's hopefully see if he shows up.
I wouldn't be opposed to seeing that.
Yeah. Those promos with Miro talking about how God, like how you let, you know, you took the belt from me and think, oh my God, that was so great.
Yeah, he was doing some excellent work.
Yeah, he got hurt, and that was the reason why he dropped the belt to Scorpio. I hope he comes back, and I think we're gonna see a great Miro when he comes back.
That's good. There's so much good about him, and there's another person that WWE fucked up big time.
Yeah,
he was over. They didn't even have to try to put him over, and they just totally fucked it up.
Yeah, his wife is wrestling for a championship this weekend. So good luck to CJ Perry.
Oh, wow. Do you know where at?
Fuck. You're going to make me look it up. It's going to be on Fight TV this Saturday. Braun Strowman's fighting Alistair Overeem from the UFC for...
is this that? What promotion do they call it?
It's the Authors of Pain. Who are in WWE. They started their own. I don't know the name of it off the top of my head. That's
Cave or something, or
yeah, something like that.
create your narrative. Strowman's fighting
for the title, and CJ Perry's fighting Nia Jax for the women's title.
Yeah, I'll be watching that.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah. Me neither, bro. Me neither.
But next we have the World Tag Team Championship with Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy, Keith Lee, and Swerve Strickland, and Power. Absolutely. Starks. Keith Lee was kind of the star in this match to me.
Why are they not putting the belt? If I was Tony Khan, that's just me, I would have made the Christian heel turn. And I think a lot of things didn't happen because of the Punk Championship. Because I don't think they wanted to overshadow it.
Right.
Like, I think right then, because Christian helped Jurassic Express win the belts back. But if I was booking this, I would have either put it on Harbs and Starks, or I would have put it on Keith Lee and Swerve. Because those four right there are money. And they are stars. What Ricky Starks did on that top rope Undertaker thing when he was like stunting and doing like the dance moves and shit.
Yeah.
That was freaking amazing. And then the move that swerved off Keith Lee's belly.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Why are Jungle Express still the tag team champions? I don't know. I don't get it. I don't
especially
know.
Especially after that finish. This is about the third or fourth time I've seen them botch the Thoracic Express move.
Yeah.
They pulled it off one time beautifully. And what? Ever since that one time, they fucked it up every single time. It does not look good.
Well, like I said, the word going around is that they were going to put the belts on the Hardys. And, okay, if that's what you were going to do, if you're going to do that, I would have put the belts on Starks and Hobbs to have a heel tag team lose to the Hardys. But whatever. But I would have done the Christian heel turn here. This is why I thought maybe Punk was going to turn heel in the main event, which he didn't. But
I
did not understand the finish at all.
Yeah.
I mean, why? Yeah. Why? Why? Why did you do it? Why?
That's a hard one to even imagine.
Very happy with that match. I wasn't.
I didn't find this to be the most. I like I said, I think Keith Lee and like you said, Keith Starks too, they were shining this match, and I would have liked to see the belt on either one of those teams. I think coming. I don't know when, and I don't know when they're gonna pull the trigger on the Christian heel turn because it's coming.
Yeah, it's coming sooner and later. Like I said, I don't think they did it because they didn't want to overshadow what was about to happen in the main event because they were pushing this pay-per-view. I don't know if you know about this time because this is about the time that the Celtics Heat Game 7 ended and Tony Schiavone kept pushing, tell your friends to order the pay-per-view. Tell your friends to order the pay-per-view. Yeah. And they had already broke a record. I don't know if you know this or not, but this Double or Nothing was the most watched pay-per-view in AEW history.
Yeah, I did see that. They announced that a couple times, I think, during the end. And yeah, you can see why, though.
Oh, yeah.
Bringing us to our main event.
Yes, sir.
For the AEW Championship, Hangman Page versus CM Punk. The crowd's kind of weird on this match to me.
Very, very.
I don't know why they were booing at certain parts they were booing, who they were booing at. I didn't understand the crowd.
Well, I think that's a little of the magic of AEW because Punk kind of started working heel a little bit. Like he had, I don't know if you noticed, early in the match he had Hangman in the corner and the referee counted to five. And after he counted to five, Punk let go, but then he gave an elbow.
Yeah.
And then he kind of looked at the crowd and kind of smiled a little bit. You know what I mean? But then Hangman did the same thing where he kind of looked at, and this kind of came from the promo on Wednesday on Dynamite where Hangman was, and this is where I so thought they were going to go heel Punk because he was like, I can't let you win this for AEW. And MJF had said the same thing, and Eddie Kingston had said the same thing.
I'm protecting AEW from you or something. And
right.
And I think they're going to use that somewhere down the line.
Yes, I agree.
I'm not quite sure when it's going to happen, but I don't care. Punk is a heel. I don't care as long as I have CM Punk.
I want Punk heel so bad. I'm the biggest, and I don't deny it, I'm the biggest Punk mark. I have loved CM Punk. He is number one on my Mount Rushmore of wrestlers. When he left, you know, this is the first time that Punk won the title since June of 13, I think. It was 9 years ago. When Punk walked away from that Royal Rumble, I quit wrestling as well because I was so mad what they had done to CM Punk. I love CM Punk. He's my favorite. We'll go more to this match, but the crowd, like you said, they were so iffy on what was going to happen.
Yeah, I'm surprised that the match didn't take off the way that I expected it to.
Really?
I don't know if it was Paige's performance.
I thought I'm not a big Paige fan, but I thought he was great in this match.
I don't know. That's just in the beginning. It just didn't take off like I thought it would. As it went on, I liked it more and more.
Right.
I liked how they were both selling the knee, and Punk was kept going for the buckshot lariat, but it kept tripping as if he doesn't know how to put on the buckshot lariat quite like Paige does.
I'll talk about that here in a minute.
Oh, okay. And then the ref gets knocked over. Paige thinks very long and hard about using the belt. He thinks about it, looks at the belt, looks at Punk, looks at the belt, looks at Punk, looks at the belt. I mean, just keeps on, and then decides not to use the belt. Goes for the buckshot again. CM Punk reverses it and turns it into the GTS and gets the win.
I told you, I think I messaged you before you had watched this, that I shed a tear a little bit.
Yeah.
Before the pay-per-view came out, CM Punk did an interview on ESPN.com. And if you haven't read it yet, it's definitely a must-read. Go to ESPN.com, click the tab in the corner, and go to WWE. It's the main story. But he talks about how him and FTR have become such good friends. And their love of Bret Hart has kind of made a bond between the three. So when Punk, the first time he did it, he missed it. I would have stopped it there. He did it again, and he ended up hitting the clothesline after kind of buckling a little bit. Got the pin. After the cameras were off, I don't know if you know this or not, but after the cameras were off, FTR stormed the ring and like celebrated with CM Punk. And they lifted CM Punk on their shoulders and stuff. And them three have become like great friends. That CM Punk has said that, like, you know, he said this in the media scrum afterwards, that him and Dax have become really, really close. And that Dax makes him watch every match after he does it to kind of critique each match.
Right.
And he said, this was great, and this is on YouTube also. After they cut the cameras, Punk got on the mic, and he said, he looked at Dax, and he said, "Remind me to never try the buckshot lariat again." And Dax actually ran to the ring and gave him a big hug and celebrated with him, and Cash celebrated. And then they put him on their shoulders, and they pounced around the ring, and they kind of hinted that they want the trio belts.
So, that wouldn't be... There are so many teams that are perfect for those trios titles right now that I could think of. There's so many different teams out there. I mean, not only does AEW have a tag team division, but they have a trios team division. I mean,
did you see the media scrum afterwards?
I didn't. I didn't get a chance to watch that yet.
Oh my God! So I don't know I don't know. I think we talked about this. Maybe not on air, but me and you talked about this through Messenger. But Eric Bischoff came out and just bombed CM Punk. saying he was the biggest flop in wrestling history and things like that.
Yeah, we did chat about that.
So a journalist asked him at the scrum. He said, "Hey, Eric Bischoff has said you're the biggest financial flop there ever was, blah blah blah." And Tony Khan, I wish I had someone that looked at me the way Tony Khan looks at CM Punk. But Tony Khan was like, "That is such the biggest lie. This man has made so much money in merchandise and pay-per-view sales and this and that," and just stood up for CM Punk. And CM Punk said, "This belt is now mine. I'm going to put this company on my shoulders, and I'm going to lead them to where we need to go." And I thought it was amazing that he said that.
Yeah. I did see him saying that.
But I thought it was a great match. What about you?
I liked the match a lot. It wasn't my favorite of the evening. What made me happy was that being champ, and that we're done with Hangman as champ.
If you would have told me 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, even 3 years ago, even 2 years ago, that CM Punk would once again be a world champion, I would have told you you're stupid and full of shit.
Yeah.
And CM Punk came in, and he didn't challenge right away. You know, he fought Matt Sydal. He fought Lee Moriarty, which I want to say real quick, my thoughts are with Lee Moriarty. His 1-year-old nephew was killed in a drive-by shooting.
Oh, my God.
My thoughts are with him.
Yeah.
Something has to happen with these gun violence laws. I don't know what has to happen, but God bless his soul. But Punk put him over, wrestled a hell of a match with him. He came in and wrestled a bunch of young people, and just to see that he could do it again. CM Punk could have, the way he's getting paid, and he could have came in and said, "Make me the champion right away." He's been in this company for like 9 months now, and he has fought and fought and fought. And when I seen him hit GTS and pin Page, a little tear came from my eye because I was so happy to see my guy champion again. And
he was in, tears were in his eyes when the match was over. It was just intense.
We're getting to Summer of Punk 3. We're going to get to Summer of Punk 3, and this is going to be so awesome.
Yes. I mean, now we had the first person who's won ROH world title, WWE title, and AEW world title.
I will one-up you on that. He is the first person to win the AEW world title, the ROH world title, the WWE world title, and the ECW world
title. Yeah, we can't forget about that one. That was the WWECW.
But it's still the ECW title. I was there in Cincinnati when it happened. I was there.
That was a good run.
So I'm excited to see where we go from here.
Yeah, definitely. I can't wait for tomorrow night's show.
It's going to be amazing. They're going to put on a good show.
I usually end up watching it around Fridays, is when I have time to watch it. But
I will be watching it as soon as I get home from football practice with my kid, and it's going to be amazing. They said they're going to announce so many matches. They're going to put on a show because they're in the forum. They're going to put on a big one. I expect without NBA basketball being on that this is going to do a huge number. The big thing I'm looking forward to see is if MJF is going to be there or not.
That'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see several things actually, and where they end, where they continue, and where they begin new stories.
Yes. I hope we do a reset and just kind of start from fresh, and let's see where we go. I think we're going to see a lot of New Japan stuff happen in the next couple weeks, so I'm hoping we get Punk and Okada. I'm so hoping to hear the coin drop, but he's also said he wants to fight Will Ospreay, so we'll see. Whoever Punk fights, it's going to be amazing.
That's either one of those two would be a great match. I can't imagine better. I mean, Ospreay or Okada. I mean,
well, Okada's the champion in New Japan. So do we do champion versus champion, or do, because, and I think they both do the go to sleep, if I'm not mistaken. So this would be, I'm hoping for Okada.
That would be just fine by me. I'd love to see it. Well, man, it was a great pay-per-view overall. I rated it a 3.75 chair shots.
I would go, and I'm a homer, so don't. I'm gonna go a 4.5.
That's fair. Missed the mark was with me was there was just some matches that I just didn't think belonged.
And I love pro wrestling, and I would watch 4 hours of bad pro wrestling, and no pro wrestling, but I still thought all the action was just great no matter what.
It was a great show.
So who was your wrestler of the night?
I was throwing this back and forth. It's kind of the easy one, but CM Punk.
Oh, you took mine.
Yeah, well, hey, it's okay to have the same one, because that after all, that was the crowning moment of the night. I was really tossed up between him and Wardlow.
I was going back and forth between him and Adam Cole, and I've already said Adam Cole once, so, and for me to say my favorite wrestler is CM Punk of the night just makes me happy. To see him hold that belt, I think that's one of the most beautiful championship belts in all of wrestling.
Oh, it is.
And to see him hold it and see the happiness in his face after seeing what he went through in the WWE was just...
You can tell he loves pro wrestling again.
Yes.
And it's back in his life and back in his heart. And whereas before, when it wasn't, man, it was really sad.
Yes, and he said, I don't care about ratings. I don't care about buy rights. I don't care about all that. I'm having the most fun in my life. And I think this next chapter of Punk, I think we're going to see some amazing matches. Kenny's going to be coming back soon, hopefully. A Kenny Omega CM Punk match. Oh,
I'd take that any day.
Yes, sir.
That'd be amazing. Well, I'd like to thank everybody for listening to us. I'm wearing my Unscripted Violence shirt.
Well, that a boy.
Yeah. So we still got those. It's on the page. If you guys just go and support it, leave a comment, or if you have any ideas for the show or questions, anything, go to the group page. Scripted Violence Pro Wrestling Talk. Listen to us anywhere. Listen to us on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We're on almost all of them.
Message me on Facebook, on Twitter, whatever. I love to talk pro wrestling. Please keep doing this. I have a blast every week we do this. I love talking to you every day. You become a good friend. And I love doing this. Just let's talk about wrestling. Let's do it.
Yeah, we're going to do it. Thanks, my friend. I feel the same way. It's been awesome. And
yep.
We're going to keep going with this.
Yes, we are.
Right on. All right. Well, I guess next, I'm still trying to fit in that GCW show. I just haven't been able to finish it yet, everybody. But I'll get to that when I get to it. You know how I am.
Hell yeah.
That's just how GCW goes. But I absolutely love GCW, and that's why I keep doing it.
I do too. I wish I could watch it more. Maybe I'll try to get this one. Let me know when you finish it. I'll try to watch it too.
They need to have less shows per month. Because they usually come out with about two or three. I think, you know, maybe one a month would be great.
Yeah, they just announced Moxley's going to defend the title soon.
Yeah, I got to get that one. I got to find out which one that one's on.
Yeah.
Then we got to review that, definitely.
Yeah, I will definitely get that one.
Yeah, in a heartbeat. But right now I'm in the middle of Maniac. It's really good so far. I'm only halfway through it, though.
Hell yeah.
All right. Well, till next week or sometime this week if I put out that GCW show. We'll be talking soon though, but we're keeping going at this. So excited for tomorrow night and seeing what happens on Dynamite.
Yes, sir. Support us. Follow us.
Yes.
Silence, please support us. Help us out. We love you guys.
Yeah, love you guys. Good night.
Good night, brother.